Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker, and we are broadcasting live this week from 6 to 8.30 a.m. from City's brand new space at 268 Orchard Road, the City Wealth Hub. It's now time for The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. Ryan, December 28, on the fourth day of Christmas, my PM gave to me Phase 3 before the new year.
All right, that is one Christmas present I am looking forward to. So the reopening of the economy further in 2 weeks' time, and this is something all of us, I think, are looking forward to.
It is true, it is true. It is some good news. I mean, just before the new year, right smack in the middle of the festive season, probably in time for Chinese New Year as well, if everything goes well. But it comes with an air of caution because Phase 3 might last at least a year, maybe even more. Reminder, Phase 3 isn't things going back to normal. Phase 3 is life with the virus, without that vaccine, or while waiting for that vaccine to be administered.
Yeah, so restrictions like the group of size from 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be good news for businesses. And I think to some degree, markets were already pricing it in with the STI up 1.3% yesterday, ahead of the announcement at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And what's in store today as investors get the chance to fully react to the news? Let's get a bigger picture from Margaret Young. She is the strategist at Daily FX. Morning, Margaret. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ryan. I'm very good. Thank you.
Okay, so how do you feel hearing the news about Phase 3?
I think, yeah, yesterday we saw a lot of news surrounding the opening, further opening up of an entry of Phase 3 from the social medias, our friends chatting, a lot of news around this. And market appears to be welcoming this decision. STI finished 1.3% higher and outperforming the regional peers. And actually, Singapore's stock market has outperformed global peers since early November, registering, I think, more than 17% gain in the last 6 weeks, alongside with a huge institutional money inflow. We have seen money inflow 5 out of the last 6 weeks, and a top pick from fund managers include banks, cyclical, energy, industrial, and tourism-related sectors. So it means that institutional money, they are really smart money, and they foresee a further relaxation of social distancing measures. However, at this moment, a lot of good news has already been priced in, and I think there are still a lot of external headwinds ahead of us, especially when the U.S. daily COVID cases surpassed 300,000 recently. That's a huge amount of number. And also UK and US, they are imposing even stricter travel and lockdown measures in view of a major second wave. Even though that we have vaccines, but the rollout of vaccine is a very gradual process. It may take up to 6 months before 80% of the America can get vaccinated. So I don't expect a very quick rebound in tourism arrivals in Singapore that can give the real economy a major boost anytime soon. But the medium to long-term outlook remains very positive.
Yeah, so if we actually cast our mind back to when Phase 2 was announced, we actually saw the stock market up the next day by around 2%. So we could be in store for some positive surprises today. And if you look at what you mentioned just now, don't get too optimistic around everything, right? Because you mentioned border restrictions are still there. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are a bit cautious around buying things like SIA, because they think a lot has already been priced in. What's your take on this sector? Transportation, especially with SIA sets, are they, I guess, a bit too early to get into right now?
Markets are always, you know, reacting earlier than the actual earnings and results are announced. Sometimes investors are 6 months earlier in the market, ahead of the economic data. So I think right now we still see institutional inflow into aviation sector, SIA, SAATS, in the past few weeks, even though the overall inflow into Singapore market has slowed down. So they are perhaps positioning for a medium to long-term recovery in Singapore's aviation industry. Because Singapore is a very open and small economy that is very reliant on tourism, business activities, and an opening economy. So SIA is one of the core strategic industry for Singapore. It cannot fail.
How do you see this playing out for the retail front? Because you still have people working from home, so you don't get a full, I guess, office crowd going to the CBD malls as much. Do you see this playing out better for the suburban malls?
Yeah, I think the opening of phase three may help to alleviate pains in the retail, especially the brick and mortar retail space. However, the recovery may still take a very long time to recover to the pre-COVID level. And recently we saw Robinson close down.
Yeah,
that's I feel very sad about it.
You're working from home as well, so?
Yeah, I'm now working from home, and I didn't spend much money this year.
So you're saving all your money for a big present to reward yourself at the end of the year, maybe. Okay, switching gears, Margaret. Of course, we are chatting with Margaret Young. She is the strategist at Daily FX. You've got your eye as well on what's happening in China. There is quite a bit of pressure these days on Chinese tech companies. And the latest headlines involves Alibaba, Tencent, and they were fined by regulators yesterday for not disclosing past acquisitions to Chinese regulators. And this is interesting because the fine was only $80,000. So why did they bother to fine them?
I guess, yeah, the amount is really insignificant comparing to the underlying business that all those tech giants are doing. So I think it's more of a warning signal and more of a symbolic thing. And China is still very supportive to domestic technology giants. And we are seeing this trend of China tech firms moving back home, dual listing in Hong Kong, and more IPOs are happening in Hong Kong instead of US in view of the persisting tensions between these two countries. So I don't think that's going to cause a major concern among investors.
Yeah, and something to watch out for, because this is threatening at least the near-term outlook for these Chinese stocks. And just to wrap things up, Margaret, we've got also the Australian dollar in play this week. The highest levels in 2.5 years. If I look at what's been happening, it's up 1.5% this week, up 3.3% for the month, and for the year to date is around 7.8%. So a really strong performance from the Aussie dollar. How much stronger can it get from here?
Well, I think the near-term momentum has turned bearish for Aussie from a technical point of view. And also, Aussie dollar was propelled by a rally in copper and iron ore prices. If you look at those metal prices, they're at multi-year high, partly due to strong demand from China, as well as slower shipping arrivals into Chinese ports. So this could be a temporary, because, you know, such a rally in the metal prices couldn't sustain for a long time. So Aussie traders should keep a look at those metal prices for future directions.
Okay, so possibly overbought, at least in the near term. So we've been chatting with Margaret Young. She is the strategist at Daily FX, helping us to break down what might be the, I guess, potential uplift for local markets today on the back of the announcement that Phase 3 is coming by the end of the year. Margaret, thank you for your time this morning, and we'll catch up again with you soon.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.